Hello, everyone. Richard C. Wilson here with Billionaires.com. We have a billionaire interview today with individual Mark Russo. Mark Russo is in the art business. He's made a lot of his money in real estate, but now has really been able to scale up a business which is traditionally hard to scale, which is fine art. His company has sold well over $100 million of fine art and has billions of dollars in assets now on his balance sheet. And it's a really innovative approach to its space. So I've had the pleasure of meeting Mark a few times now. One time at our private investor yacht cruise for the Family Office Super Summit that's hosted by our investor club called Family Office Club. And I also met him at his offices in Battleground, Washington. And then again at the Barrett Jackson Car Show just a few days ago here in Scottsdale. And I have to say the number one compliment I got at the whole 1,000 person event that we hosted in December this last year was that when I presented on stage my cliff notes on what billionaires do after at that time having read 50 billionaire books and interviewed 25 billionaires, I shared, you know, how they typically act from what I see, what strategies they're using, what mental models they have that seem to work for them. And he came up without asking for feedback and said that what I shared is exactly what's worked for him. And he really enjoyed hearing that and just wanted to let us know that. It seemed such like a, such a genuine comment that that was exciting to hear because we're relatively early on. Now today we've interviewed 33 billionaires and we're coming up on our 66th billionaire book that we're reading, trying to get to 120 books read this year. And so what we're trying to do is share our journey as we go. And Mark was nice enough to spend his time being part of that journey and sharing his thoughts with us. So during this interview, you're going to hear how he's been able to scale, think differently, but also a lot of insights related to avoiding mistakes. And I felt like this was a really good, authentic story about Mark's journey. In a way, it's going to be relatable and useful to many of you out there. So let's get right into the interview. Thank you for joining us here today, Mark, with us. So first of all, let's start with what was the number one turning point in your career or your business? Was there a single moment where everything started to go faster, a choke point you acquired, or just the velocity of your success started to really take off?
I think the biggest turning point for my company, Treasure Investments Corporation, was a not just a arithmetic growth or exponential growth, but a quantum leap forward. Most companies start arithmetically growing. They grow, they expand, they scale. We grew at the beginning arithmetically, turning over our profit, bringing in money, making sales. And then we started to exponentially grow, which was exciting for us. We had a contract. We're in the art business. And we grew the company to 96 locations, got contracts, got an opportunity to represent our works on 106 cruise ships now in 52 countries. And that was wonderful. It took us from a couple hundred million dollars to a couple billion dollar company. The quantum leap came when we made a big bet. We went to Italy. We found a foundry over there that had the molds from the Vatican and 16 other museums in Europe. It was a big gamble. And I've always said that the biggest risk in business isn't taking one. We took a big risk and we made a huge investment and acquired the rights to 72 Vatican masterpieces, where now we're not selling product at 10,000 or 20,000, but our price points begin at $25 million to $500 million in casting pieces from the Vatican in solid gold and pure silver and precious metals. That for us was our momentum point where we actually went quantum. A leap forward, just beyond exponential growth. It's not 10x, it's 100x or 200x from our investment. And that took us from a few billion to now we have over 5.5 billion liquid assets in a matter of 24 months. And that was the giant leap forward for us, our giant surge forward, and just created so much momentum because that capital investment, that risk that we took on an opportunity to do something that no one's ever done before. We're forging art history. We're making art world history by casting the greatest artworks from the greatest artists in precious metals. No one has ever done this before. No one. And that for us was our, I think, our major turning point to where it literally tripled and quintupled the market cap of my company as a liquid asset into the billions. And it's just very exciting. But again, for us, the biggest risk in business for us isn't taking one. And we do take risks, the now very strategic, methodically thought out. But that was, I think, and has been our best, biggest turning point for our increased momentum.
Awesome. You hear about these stories in tech. Usually it's a new tech startup or a company that pivots, and then because of their type of tech or timing with COVID or something else, their tech company explodes in value. So I love that yours was an innovative business strategy of taking the most famous artists that have ever lived, getting original molds from the Vatican, and being able to create new pieces of art based on that. That's very different than the normal, oh, I 10 times my company in 2 years, or we raised our valuation by 5 times and created a $5 billion valuation in just a couple of years. Those almost always seem to be tech stories. So I love that yours is not. And the second question I wanted to ask you is, what is the most valuable strategy worth far more than $1 million that you wish somebody provided you with early on that you could share here with our listeners?
The most valuable strategy for us, I think, was being able to identify what was scalable in the business and what wasn't. You know, if you have a great company and it's making money and you can't scale it, even though it's making money, then it's great, but you're limited. Your growth is limited. You know, I made the mistake of that in the past where I didn't identify something. But I think the best strategy for us was identifying what we could scale. And if we had some product in one of our locations, then and it was successful, why couldn't we reproduce those pieces and put it in another location and another location? And which we've done that. We've got 96 locations selling the same images, sometimes diverse and different. But I think it was just being able to identify that and realizing that if we could do it in one location, that we could scale it to multiple locations, and not just with one part of our business, but with different types of businesses. We have an auction platform. We've raised tens of millions for nonprofits by placing our sculptures into these charity fundraisers. And I didn't realize that by doing one event, we made a bunch of money. We made $60,000 at one charity in one venue. And the question was, gosh, I wonder how many auctions there are that have live gala fundraisers. And after doing it, it's like, wow, this worked at one event. Why couldn't we do it at another event? Well, after we did some research and did some due diligence, we found out that there's over 11,000 live charity auctions every weekend in America, over 600,000 annually. It's like, wow, how can we do this? How can we scale? And ultimately, I scaled that business to where we were doing at one point over 1,000 fundraisers a month and bringing in millions of dollars a month in free cash flow and then providing millions to nonprofit. We've donated tens of millions to charities as a result of that. But the strategy of being able to scale, whatever your business is, it has to be every part. Being able to put artwork in galleries across the world, being able to put pieces on cruise ships in 52 countries, being able to scale every element of our business is a great strategy. And you know, I wish I had known that a long time ago, because I've made a lot of mistakes in the business world. I've lost millions and bought things that I couldn't scale. But that, I think, is the most valuable strategy for us, is being able to identify if you have something that's successful and you can sell it, but being able to do that multiple times over and let other people help you. It's, you know, strength through numbers. And that's really been our success for our ability to scale, because it's very scalable. There's no one in our space. I identified that as a strategy too. So we're really kind of a standalone. Nobody can really compete with us. That's why we're the number one most successful sculpture selling company in the entire world. So I think that's probably one of the best things that as a strategy we can share with people.
Awesome. Great. Appreciate you sharing that with us, Mark. This is something that I see as a real stumbling block for many people, including myself. I've been running my business for 17 years. I run an investor club. We're not in 52 countries. We don't have the equivalent of being on 95 cruise ships or 100 plus galleries. So if you're listening to this and you're like me, this probably deserves some quiet thinking time, either going on a run or sitting in the sauna or a quiet room with a notepad and just thinking, how can I break the assumptions of my space and make it far more scalable? Just how Mark has, you know, obtaining molds to pieces of art in the Vatican, created by artists such as Michelangelo, and then selling a one-of-one piece of that, or exclusive rights, or 1 of 100 pieces, etc. I'm going to be thinking about this a lot personally, and I really appreciate you sharing that, Mark. So my final question here for you, though, is what is the number one most costly mistake that you have made or seen many investors make or business owners make that could be easily avoided just by listening to this interview?
I think the biggest mistake that I've made, or anybody could make, I've seen a lot of people do it, is they get so committed to something that they believe in. They look at it, and I did it myself. You know, I had an idea or a concept, and I thought, this has got to work. It's amazing. I love it. How can it fail? It can't work. But I never looked back and looked at it through a different lens. And if you're committed to something, and I know somebody right now that's spent a fortune and 13 years on something, and it's like pounding a square dowel through a round hole. No matter how hard that person tries, and I've given that person advice saying, listen, you have to change your approach. It's not working. And they're not changing their approach. So if you're doing something and it's not successful, you need to be able to change immediately. You have to change your approach rapidly. And in the past, I didn't change my approach. I thought if I kept on doing it and asking the same questions, I was hoping for different answers. But I think the biggest mistake that I have made, that I've seen other people make in businesses, was that being so committed to something, so in love with it, they lost perspective. They lost the perception. They lost what other people can see that they couldn't see. And not wanting to believe that it wouldn't work, I think, is a big problem. You have to be able to see if something's working and identify that it's not working. And if you can't change your approach, you've got a problem. But being able to change your approach instantly, if it's not working, change it. If they don't like that lemonade, change the flavor of your lemonade or sell something else. So being able to identify what's working and not working, and then being able to take massive action and move immediately, you have to be able to do that. So, you know, for me now, when we see something isn't working, we change our approach instantly. I have to say that our company, we do more in a day than most companies do in 6 months. But being able to identify what's working and not working, change your approach immediately, and take massive action to redirect. And if that's not working, keep on changing your approach until it works. But so many people get caught up with thinking, I know it's going to work, and they bankrupt themselves, and their business doesn't work, and they end up, you know, just it doesn't work. They die, their businesses fail, and I think I've been a victim of that myself. So being able to look at it through a different lens. A lot of times, if I'm going to do something, I'll look at something as if I already own it. If I want to buy something, it's like, okay, now I own it. So now what am I going to do with it? Can I sell it? Is it worth what I bought it for? Is it scalable? Did I make the right decision? So before I make a decision, I'll take myself out of my own shoes and look at it through a different lens or a different optic, and I ask a lot of questions from a lot of my friends and my partners and my business associates to make sure that we're making the best decision. But the ability to move and move fast, identify what's working and not working, and taking massive action, I think is probably the best advice I can give, and is a problem and things that can be avoided for other businesses and other endeavors.
Oh, okay. On my laminated one pager that I use every morning to brainwash myself and kind of get myself focused on my monthly, quarterly, annual goals, my one-liner statements, I have on there to take massive focused action. So I love how you ended that. I'm not sure I follow that enough, just like many people listening to this probably, but the ability to move fast, identify what's working and not working, discard things not working, getting rid of business models and partnerships or product lines that are not working, and unemotionally moving past that and moving very quickly and taking massive action all along the way are some things I took note on right there. Also, I wrote down a little note, you know, not losing a correct perception or a factual perception of the situation, not getting emotionally involved with it, but changing your approach constantly and iterating. That's something that I recently picked up in a book written by the billionaire Oprah Winfrey, and also from Tim Draper's book, Startup Heroes. So it was great timing to hear that advice from you. So appreciate your help, Mark. I know we have a fireside chat with you coming up at one of our investor summits. So very much looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll see each other soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this interview for billionaires.com. And we'll see you on the next one. If you know someone who's worth $1 billion plus who would be open to answering our three questions, we'd love for them to be part of the series as well. Thank you for the help.